You actually can stand and pee. And I was skeptical that it would really work. Well, I don't know how obvious it is. I'm not testing that myself. I'm not equipped. We built our DIY version of the throne with the diverter. And my husband confirms, yes, you can. He can stand up and pee and it doesn't splash back. It doesn't flow into the wrong locations.
Welcome to the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast, the show where you learn how to plan, build, and live the tiny lifestyle. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and this is episode 291. Today, I'll be talking with Elizabeth, one of the team members behind a new and innovative entry into the world of compost toilets, the Throne composting toilet. Throne offers both a ready-made and DIY solution to the traditional compost toilet that promises ease and simplicity. We'll delve into the nuts and bolts of building your own compost toilet using Throne's DIY kit, tackle common problems with existing designs, and explore the benefits and drawbacks of different styles of compost toilet. Our guest Elizabeth lived full-time with her family in their self-built schoolie and went through three different compost toilet designs before finally settling on the Throne. Whether or not you're currently in the market for a compost toilet, stay tuned as Elizabeth shares wisdom from life on the road and the do's and don'ts for a successful compost toilet in your home. Really quick, before we get started, I hope you enjoy the interview, and if you are interested in the Throne compost toilet, head over to thetinyhouse.net/throne. That's thetinyhouse.net/throne. That'll bring you over to their website. They are currently doing a $100 off sale, and you can upgrade to one of seven colors for free. There's also a coupon code just for Tiny House Lifestyle podcast listeners. That is THPBOOK. Again, that's THPBOOK. That will get you a free copy of Joseph Jenkins' Compost Toilet Handbook over at thetinyhouse.net/throne. The coupon code THPBOOK expires on April 15th, 2024. All right, let's get into the interview. Right, I am here with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a member of the Tiny Living community who had a problem. A Throne composting toilet was the solution. If you've been in the bus life scene in the last 5 years, there's a good chance you've crossed paths with Elizabeth and her family in their self-built schoolie. It's easy to notice their huge roof-raised bus, but what you won't see right away is that they're on their third composting toilet. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of what it's like to live with a composting toilet, why most popular options stink, and how she got into the business of high-class toilet humor. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We were just chatting before we started rolling. You have just a fascinating journey of, you know, doing this bus and now building a beautiful timber-framed house, but we're going to talk about Throne composting toilets today, which is kind of a fresh face in the compost toilet world. But why don't we start about with, you know, like, what is a Throne compost toilet?
So Throne is the brand. Okay. It's a new compost toilet, which really just, it combines a lot of experience. I think we calculated it on our team, and among the folks on our team, we have 50 years experience using compost toilets. And they're so great in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever used one, if you've ever owned one, you also know that a lot of them have a lot of challenges that typically lead to lots of fun conversations around the campfire when you meet other people with compost toilets. Mm-hmm. But we felt that we could make major improvements to those so that the freedom provided by a composting toilet wouldn't have to come with quite so many downsides.
Nice. And what are some of those downsides that you were trying to set out? Or maybe, like, what was the biggest one that you're trying to tackle?
Ooh, I think the diverter. So I've had multiple compost toilets, and also, you know, folks on our team have had other ones that I haven't used myself. And I don't want to, like, trash talk any competitors, so we don't need to get into specifics, but a lot of them, the diverters just don't divert the way you want them to.
And also, for those who are listening, a diverter is a urine diverter that kind of carries the liquid to a different place than the solids, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So when you sit down in the toilet, you go number one, it flows into one chamber. Mm-hmm. You go number two, it falls into another chamber. And, you know, the reason for that, there's many reasons, such as, you know, ease of disposal and odor control. We can get into that later if we want to, but mm-hmm. the problem that I've had and a lot of others have had is that a lot of diverters, they have this very narrow, a very small lip dividing the solids from liquids locations. Mm-hmm. And when you have a vigorous pee, it's easy for it to just like swirl around the bowl and pour right into the solids mm-hmm. container. And that's not a big problem if you're using enough cover material, you know, something such as like sawdust to put in the solids bin.
Yep.
But a lot easier to manage the odors if you can keep the liquids out of that solids bin. So the diverters in a lot of compost toilets, they could be improved by having a much deeper liquids bowl mm-hmm. with a much steeper wall on it. So
got it.
There's none of that splashback. The liquids don't just swirl around the bowl and then flow into the solids bin when you're peeing quickly.
Got it. So I'll say my listeners probably know this. So my tiny house has your classic Joe Jenkins style bucket toilet. So I've never personally owned a urine diverter. I've certainly used urine diverting toilets. And one of the things that is notable about them is that everybody needs to sit down to pee on most urine diverting toilets, just because I'm guessing because of the issues of splashback and those mm-hmm. such things. So on the throne, are you free to stand and pee, or is it also a sit down and pee situation for all users?
You actually can stand and pee. And I was skeptical that it would really uh-huh. work. Obviously, I don't know how obvious it. I'm not testing that myself. I'm not equipped. But we built our DIY version of the mm-hmm. throne with the diverter. And my husband confirms, yes, he can stand up and pee and it doesn't splash back. It doesn't flow into the wrong locations. In one of our previous compost toilets we had, he had bought a long funnel at the hardware store thinking, yep. well, hey, maybe this could be kind of like a solution. I can just stick it in the diverter and pee into this. You know, then comes the challenge of this dripping funnel that you have to put somewhere when you're done. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can actually stand and pee without getting splashback with the throne diverter. And it's because of the steeper wall on the backside.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've tackled the urine diverter. What's kind of another problem that you're trying to solve with throne?
Well, I guess it's also related to the urine diverter, but mm-hmm. the opening for the solids.
Okay.
So you said you've got kind of the classic.
Yep.
It's essentially a seat over a bucket.
Yes.
You know, you can make them as pretty or as basic as you want, but you've got a big open hole and you go in it, right? Mm-hmm. No issues.
Right.
When you add in a diverter to a toilet, there's suddenly smaller targets to hit.
Yeah.
And some composting toilets have very small targets. And most people don't have a lot of experience and training with aiming their number two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, a much larger opening for the solids was another big important piece just to make it easy to use.
Got it.
For people who aren't as conscientious, like children,
yep.
guests who don't really want to be using your compost toilet anyway, who are kind of afraid of it. I worked at a hostel and campground that had compost toilets, and those needed to be much easier to use.
Okay. They had like yeah. urine diverting compost toilets.
Urine diverting compost toilets, right. And the toilets were small, and the people using them didn't have experience or know how to use them. So obviously stuff went where it wasn't supposed to go. And
yeah,
you know, the staff
yeah.
handled that.
Yeah. I've definitely heard horror stories, especially from people who maybe have a tiny house that they host on Airbnb, where they have Airbnb guests different, you know, coming in who don't necessarily want to read a set of instructions before they use the toilet. They just want to use the toilet and the ensuing mess.
Yeah. One of our team members said, most people don't know where their asshole is because we don't have to. You know, with most toilets, you sit down and you go. And so if you're not used to it, you don't really realize the positioning. So you have to pay attention to positioning on with any diverter, even the Throne diverter. You need to be in the right location. If you perch on the front, you're pooping in the wrong hole.
Right. So the Throne, you know, it's a freestanding toilet. It comes in, I think, like 7 colors. That's fun that it's not just like white.
Yeah.
But there's also this DIY bundle. And I think you mentioned the DIY option. What's, you know, who's that for and what does that let you do?
Yeah. So we've been working on this toilet for quite a long time. And that linchpin item really was the diverter. And so developing that diverter and getting it perfect was the first thing we did before developing the rest of the toilet.
Okay.
And so it was the first thing we put on the market and offered was a diverter along with a free set of plans for building your own compost toilet. So it's really great because there's so many different ways you can make an excellent compost toilet. And it can be buying the full toilet that comes with, you know, the plastic toilet base and all in the different colors. It's really nice looking and clean and sleek for your bathroom. It comes with the 6-gallon salad bins. It comes with the 3-gallon liquid jug with the level alarm. And that's a really great option for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But if you're more budget conscious, you can still build essentially the same toilet for a lot less. It's not going to look quite as nice and sleek. It's going to require a lot more DIY skills, but the diverter allows you to build your own toilet. And then you can kind of mix and match what other components you want. We sell the 6-gallon salads bin. Mm-hmm. On the website, as well as the liquids jugs, the ventilation fans, and the plans come free with every diverter purchase. So you can mix and match and choose what you need and build some really cool, unique toilets. We've seen a lot of great toilets that our customers have built.
And it would seem that you could also, if you wanted your toilet to have a more built-in look, like my toilet in my house kind of, it's like kind of in its own cabinet. There's kind of like a bench top and it's all, you know, I use the same wood as the ceiling underneath the loft. So it all kind of is matchy matchy. So I would imagine that the DIY kit would allow somebody to do like essentially a built-in toilet.
Yeah. So we've got, and we've had some customers do those. One of our team members, she lives in an RV and when she was replacing her old compost toilet, she did a built-in kind of a bench style. And on one side of the bench, it even opens up to a large storage container for their cover material where they keep the scoop.
Yes.
And it's just really customized for their needs.
Yes, exactly.
You can plumb the diverter directly down into a larger tank if you want. So, you know, a lot of people may want to avoid having to empty the liquid as often. And so might plumb it into a larger tank underneath a bus or an RV. Or maybe plumb it into some sort of gray water leach system, just depending on what your property has. You've got that option to plumb it directly down as well.
Yep. Yep. Well, let's talk. So we've covered the liquids pretty well. So let's talk solids bin. You know, different compost toilets have, some of them have an auger for mixing things. Some of them have a fan for drying things, a chimney to ventilate. What's the design for Throne?
So Throne's trying to keep it simple and functional and easy. You mentioned your compost toilet is built on, you know, the Joseph Jenkins model. And I really like his, you know, theories about compost toilets and his system because it is just simple. It's not complicated. There's no cranks and augers. And that's what we are trying to accomplish here because we know that a composting toilet can have no odors, even if you don't divert the liquids. And so we don't feel like you needed all those complicated things. Everything you add into a compost toilet is something else you have to clean and something else that can break.
Got it.
So I found with the toilets with the cranks to stir it up, you know, they do ensure that the cover material comes in contact with all of the solids, which can help with odors. But what I found is it gets really hard to turn those cranks. My kids could never turn them except when we had just freshly emptied the toilet. Once it was about half full, I couldn't turn it anymore. And so we found ourselves, you know, calling my husband in to crank the toilet for us. So keeping it simple, it is just an empty, smooth bin where your solids go. Mm-hmm. And You can line it with a bag if you want. So if your method of disposal is in a conventional waste stream, mm-hmm. a bag can line the toilet. So you just have to remove that bag. And we recommend double bagging yep. when you dispose of it. Just I've had some horror stories shared with me from other folks who've had okay. bags burst in their house. Okay. Yeah, so if you're composting though, you just dump it out like you mm-hmm. would any other compost toilet, except the difference is you just pull it out of the toilet. You lift it out with a handle and you don't have to upend the entire toilet inside your house, mm-hmm. which is scary, which some composting toilets require. There's no nooks and crannies to kind of scrape bits off of. It's just a simple bucket.
Nice. Yeah, and I've definitely found I don't dispose of my waste in the conventional waste stream. It gets composted, but mm-hmm. adding a 6 gallon composting bag to my bucket mm-hmm. has made cleanup much, much easier and faster. And now as an Airbnb host, kind of crucial mm-hmm. for just quick, easy cleaning of the facilities.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier just to dump it into the compost pile and not have to hose down the bin every time.
Yeah. And is there a fan at all on the throne?
Yes. So if you buy the throne toilet, it mm-hmm. comes included with a fan, a ventilation fan.
Okay.
It's a 4-inch fan that vents out a 2.5-inch pipe.
Okay.
And it's installed on the toilet on the backside. You can actually drill a hole anywhere on the toilet body you want if you want to move it to another location.
Yeah.
And it's not really necessary, but I'm sure you found when you first started using your composting toilet, it can take a little time to kind of figure out, get everything right, you know?
Yeah.
Am I putting the right amount of cover material in? Is my cover material too large, too dry, too wet? Just kind of as you kind of work out what type of cover material is going to function best and how much you need. It's nice to have a fan just to sort of be a backup.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. It's helpful to have a fan as like a backup for when things aren't going. Yeah.
Okay.
I was debating like just adding additional toilet humor and decided not to.
Well, feel free to throw it in. I mean,
okay. The fan it takes the stank straight off the log.
Nice. Love it. Stink straight off. So do you need to use, I'm guessing you still need to use cover material with Throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We recommend it. If you're using the fan, you could probably get away without using cover material, but it helps.
Yeah.
I think cover material is great for a lot of reasons. One is it just eliminates smells by itself when used properly.
Yeah.
And then two, if you are composting, you've already got all this great carbon material sitting right in there and you can just dump it straight into your compost pile.
Yeah.
Then if you are disposing of it in a conventional waste stream, it does add bulk. So it means you're going to have to empty it more frequently. So, mm-hmm. you know, folks could experiment with, you know, how much cover material do I really need if I'm utilizing the vent fan, but it also soaks up extra moisture. So it's great. If you are getting some people going in the wrong location from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my experience with my compost toilet has always been stationary. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always, wherever my tiny house has been parked, I've built a compost bin out of 4 pallets and some hardware cloth, and I've been able to do all my composting on site. Mm-hmm. What's it like living with a compost toilet on the road, you know, as you did with the schoolie, and how does the throne try to, I'm guessing it kind of tries to work for both applications?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a few differences that I've found, you know, living on the road versus living stationary in what the compost toilet, you know, provides for us. But
yeah,
the biggest thing it gives us is freedom. And that's going to be similar whether you're traveling or whether you're stationary. You know, when you're traveling, it gives you the freedom to, you know, camp without needing water for a flush toilet. It gives you, you know, longer periods of time you can go without having to empty it. Because, you know, we were really wanting to camp. We were wanting to be out on, you know, public lands and BLM lands and not, you know, not near paved roads and not near facilities.
Right.
And so it gave us that ability to be away for longer. If you don't use the fan, it doesn't use any electricity. If you do use the fan, it uses a small amount of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affordable. You know, compost toilets, you know, I remember when I first started learning about them, the price tag was kind of shocking. A lot of commercial compost toilets are $1,000 plus.
Yeah.
The thing comes in lower than that at $728 for the full-on toilet.
Yeah.
But then you can even be more budget conscious by picking and choosing the pieces you want and buying those a la carte and building your own. Mm. So it gives you affordability that suits your budget.
Nice.
Just depending on what your needs are. I think, you know, the thing I struggled with a lot on the road, and it was the misconception that I found among the nomadic community.
Yeah.
That the stuff you dumped out of your compost toilet was compost. And yeah. I mean, I was shocked how many times people tell me, like, I love this. I mean, I can just dump it under a tree. And I was like, what? you're dumping a bucket of poop on the ground on public lands. This is, I think there's maybe a lack of education. I don't know if it's the marketing material maybe is too rosy around what a composting toilet really is, but that was a surprising misconception on the road. And I felt like that needed to be my mission to re-educate everybody that a composting toilet gives you a receptacle to hold your waste until it can be composted.
Right.
It's not doing the composting. It's just there so that you can compost it.
When I interviewed Joe Jenkins, that was something that he has a personal, you know, kind of vendetta about. You know, which is that it's not a composting toilet. It's a compost toilet. Like, because the composting doesn't happen inside of the toilet.
Yeah. It's a compost supporter.
Yeah.
That was sort of a tangent from like what it's like living on the... I just was so shocked when I started hearing that over and over that misconception was out there that it was just ready to be put on the dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah. Moving on to our property here in Vermont, it gave us freedom in that it allowed us to settle down on this piece of land that didn't have anything on it yet. Mm-hmm. We drove our bus in here one spring, rolled it down the driveway and said, well, we're not getting out of here until we pay to have this driveway fixed because it was really soft and really bad shape. And we weren't planning to move the bus anyway. So we just said, let's go for it. And the freedom of the compost toilet was that we could again continue to dispose of it in a conventional waste stream like we needed to do on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty quickly, I was stoked to set up a compost bin.
Yeah.
And that just how I noticed the amount of trash that we took out decrease when we could turn all of our food scraps, all of our toilet contents, every bit of that, all those nutrients could just go back into the land. That was pretty amazing. And I love that it reduced our waste so significantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is really amazing how much, you know, how much of what comes out of the kitchen is compostable and how little trash you make when you don't have my parents are like lifelong, but We had a compost bin growing up. I feel like they were like very cutting edge. They've been composting for like 40 years and they don't even use like a trash bag liner in their trash can because like nothing they throw out in their kitchen trash, like is really all that like dirty. It's just like, you know, it's like the plastic wrapper that the like bagels came in and it's the like, is it most everything that's kind of like dirty is food or stuff that would make a mess goes into the compost.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah. I mean, and the trash never smells if you find yourself in a situation where you're storing trash for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes on the road, I think you're always looking for the next trash can. and you know, you might be storing trash for a while. If it doesn't smell it, that's pretty amazing. I actually did a little bit of composting on the road. I found this, I can't remember the name of the company, but there's a company that has a map that you can put yourself on there and say, we accept compost scraps.
Oh.
And so when we were traveling, we'd go to a new location. I'd go to that map and I'd see who around here accepts compost scraps. And then I'd contact them. And I had a big bin under my bus that I just kind of collected in until it filled up.
Yep.
And then I would go dump it in someone's compost pile. And now that I've got my own compost pile, I realize how much of a gift that is to be able to get extra material into your compost pile.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's doing that for toilet contents yet, but that's pretty cool that there is an effort out there to allow people to compost who don't actually want to do it themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. So can you take us through the three compost toilets that you had on your bus and why and kind of why you decided to move on from each one?
Yeah. So first compost toilet I mentioned was the one that had the crank arm.
Okay.
Struggles we had with that one was the lip between the solids and liquids locations was very small. So we were constantly overflowing into the solids. It was really hard to turn the crank after once it got about half full, which with a family of four was less than a week.
Right.
We filled that thing pretty quickly.
Yeah.
The other struggles we had with it, I think the biggest problem for me was that I couldn't lift the entire thing up and turn it upside down to dump it into a bag. Mm. It was a terrifying thing to do. But that's how you had to do it to empty it. You had to take the top half off the toilet and the whole bottom had to be turned upside down into a bag to empty it. We would usually take it outside. So it means carrying your toilet through your house.
Yeah.
Take it outdoor, try to fit a bag over it, dump it without it falling off. And then, you know, there's just all these like little bits stuck in there everywhere with the crank arm and all the little nooks and crannies. Another issue we had, you know, didn't notice this at first, but over time, as you know, I think a lot of compost toilet users are aware, urine scale builds up anywhere that urine's allowed to sit for any period of time and dry.
Okay.
It's hard to clean off once it's dried. And it does continue to build up. And so this toilet also had in the diverter, it diverted into this area that then flowed into the liquids jug, but you couldn't access that little area. There's no way to get inside that little area to clean it.
Okay.
Or to get things out of it. So, you know, my kids' barrettes would get dropped in there when they were little and I'd be fishing them out, you know, with tweezers. I've tried swimming inside there with a toothbrush.
Okay.
I've heard people trying to sand it down to clean it, but you just can't get in there.
Okay.
Eventually, I sold the toilet to somebody who was, you know, happy to get a really good discount and, you know, had full disclosure that I couldn't get it fully clean.
Yep.
But before I gave it to them, I took it to a car wash with those like spray hoses and I pressure washed the thing. And I still couldn't get that clean.
Yeah.
Urine scale is really hard to get off. And so inaccessible areas, nooks and crannies, dumping a toilet upside down and a diverter that wasn't working for us were the main reasons we got rid of that one.
Sounds pretty bad.
Yeah. Second compost toilet. We actually were really excited about this one because instead of going into a 2-gallon jug, our liquids would be funneled into a large tank under our bus. So we got a old gray tank off, or I don't even know, some sort of tank off an old RV and added it underneath the bus. That was, we called it our yellow tank because it's just where the pee went. And so that gave us a lot longer we could go between emptying and we could just open up a drain and drain it with a hose into either a dump station or onto, you know, public lands in small doses. We tried not to drain that whole thing. So that was really nice in theory. In practice, there was a lot of benefits to that too. The second compost toilet also had a much stronger fan, which was nice to help with smells. And, you know, their instructions said, you don't need to use cover material. And I'll vouch for that. A strong fan, you don't have to use cover material. It's totally fine. I would not vent it out the side of my bus again, because if you walked by that side of the bus, you can imagine what that smelled like.
Yeah.
We got rid of that one after some issues with the drain, the urine drain. So it was a very narrow line that drained it.
Okay.
And again, urine scale. Urine scale builds up. And because it wasn't actually exposed to air, it wasn't fully drying out in there, but it kind of became this sludge that plugged it up. And the only way to clean it was to snake it with like a really narrow brush drain snake.
Okay.
And I had to do it from underneath the bus. And it got everywhere. I mean, it was sludge coming out of the urine drain.
Yep.
Falling on me, all running up my arms. It was awful. It was an awful experience. So we did that twice and then said, this never again. This toilet's out here. I think if the drain line had been like a larger diameter, it would have been a lot more manageable.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with draining to a larger tank, especially if it was like a 1-inch diameter, totally fine. But this was like maybe a 1/4-inch diameter tubing that just clogged up nasty.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, then we, at that point I was working for Tiny Wood Stove, who is the same people who are doing Throw and Composting Toilet. And we were just getting ready to release the diverter onto the market. And I was also very ready to get rid of that old toilet. And I had recently read the Humanure Handbook too, and I was all about the humanuring and looking for something simpler than what we were using. So I got the diverter, I used the plans that we developed to go along with it, and built my toilet. And it's been really nice. It is really nice in its simplicity. I think the one thing I don't love right now is I built mine, you know, out of wood and plywood. And so if I do overflow the liquids jug, it's into a absorbent material. I don't want that. I've got the level alarm on mine, so hopefully that's not going to be something that happens, but a wooden toilet always has a little bit of fear with that.
And so that level alarm, that'll actually beep at you if the level of liquids in the liquid container gets above a certain point?
A red light comes on.
Ah, okay.
And it comes in below the diverter, and the diverter itself is white, but it's translucent.
Okay.
So it makes the whole diverter glow red.
Okay. So when that light is on, does that mean it's like you're going to overflow it, or is it kind of like have this one last pee and then empty it?
You've got 3 to 4 well-hydrated pees to go.
Okay.
So it's not right. You can make it through the night.
Okay.
We stuck it at that level intentionally because you don't want to like suddenly have to stop midstream and go into your toilet when the light shines.
The thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to know that I can get through the night. That was always the reason I would overflow my liquid jugs in the past. And I've done it many times because I'm like, we can make it. We can make it through the night. We don't have to go take this out in the middle of the night, but you usually can't if you think you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you, now that you are in a stationary location and you're composting, are you pouring the urine onto the compost pile, or are you using it to fertilize plants elsewhere?
A little bit of both. So I know that compost piles, they really like plenty of moisture. And so I like adding it there for that.
Yeah.
Plus I know all the nutrients in the urine is going to just be hanging out in my compost for when I'm ready to use it. But I've also used it whenever I'm watering plants. I'll, you know, dilute it with water and then water the plant with it.
Nice.
So it goes in one of those two locations. I'm either watering plants or putting it in the compost pile.
Got it. And the compost pile is feeding future plants.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely a learning experience.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, a humanure compost, because you want to be really sure you did a really good job. My first year I was using hay as like the cover material.
For inside?
No.
For outside.
That was when we were using our previous compost toilet that we weren't putting cover material into.
Yeah.
So I was using hay outside, and it's big, it's fluffy. It's like, looks like you're putting a lot of stuff in there, but there's a lot of content to it, because after the pile had been sitting a year, I dug into it to say like, where are we at? Am I ready to use this? And it was sludge. I didn't feel comfortable with it. So I added a bunch of sawdust that I got from a local mill.
Yeah.
And left it another year, and it looks amazing. I can't wait to use it this spring. So
nice.
I think it can take some time to get it right, but the compost pile is doing really great now.
Awesome. And are you using a compost toilet inside the timber frame home that you built?
Yes, much to the dismay of my teenage daughter. So we got a loan for building a house.
Okay.
And when you have a construction loan, the bank gets to tell you what to do. So right. We were required to put in a septic system. We were required to put in a flush toilet.
Okay.
I designed my bathroom, though, intentionally with a spot for a compost toilet, too. So our bathroom has two toilets.
Nice.
Which is now a new conversation piece.
So when a guest comes to your house and they need to use the bathroom, give me your spiel. What do you say?
So when we were in the bus, we had enough guests over. And then one time I had a really big party on our property and I decided I needed to make a sign for it. So we made a sign that we just taped inside the toilet lid and it says, pee, poop, and then what's next?
Yeah.
That does pee in the front, poop in the back. And for guests, we just say like pee in the poop, pee in the front, poop in the back. Your toilet paper goes in the back and then cover it with cover material. We have a plastic cereal container that is where we keep our cover material. So you can just kind of shake it in, which we've dubbed poo poo sprinkles. So you always got to put your poo poo sprinkles on when you're done.
Nice.
But yeah, that's our spiel with guests. Now that we have other options, we have a flush toilet too. We say like, hey, you can use the flush toilet or you can use the compost toilet here. There's instructions inside the lid. It's really not that hard.
You can use the flush toilet if you want your waste to go into a broken system that doesn't replenish. Yeah. Really but passive aggressive.
Do you prefer to put your waste in our drinking water or use our compost toilet?
Yeah. Excellent. Well, so for my wedding in 2016, I built two outbuildings and set up humidor toilets for like 170 people, including my 90-year-old grandmother. So if she can do it, anyone can.
Yeah, it's really not that hard. You just have to sit down and go, just like a regular toilet.
Yeah, exactly. So Throne is like just launching now, like the DIY, the diverter's been available for a little while, but tell me about, about the launch, what's going on. This episode will be out, I believe, before the end of the presale. So for anyone listening right when this comes out, listen up.
Yeah. So the diverter and a lot of the components have been out for a while now, but we are just now starting to take pre-orders for the Throne toilet.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this special color sale. So like you mentioned earlier in the show, we're offering them in 7 different colors because why not? It's fun. Maybe you want your toilet to match your bathroom. We've also got it in white for the classic look.
Uh-huh.
And we're during this sale, it's running through the end of March. So it's a pretty short sale, but we're offering $100 off a free. So $100 off the toilet price, which takes it down to $628.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. A huge amount of snow just slid off my roof.
I heard that. That's amazing.
So $100 off the toilet. We're also offering the color upgrade is free.
Uh-huh.
We aren't charging any extra for the upgrade to a colorful toilet.
Nice.
We are also doing free shipping to the lower 48 states.
Nice.
What else do we have? Sorry, I'm looking. I had some notes here. Make sure I told you all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So during this pre-order sale, we're offering $100 off the toilet, which brings the cost down to $628.
Yep.
We're also offering a free upgrade to a color. So you can choose the white color as well, but we also aren't charging any addition for the colorful toilets.
Nice.
We're doing free shipping to the lower 48 states. And all of that runs through the end of March only. So it's a pretty short-term offering. And as soon as we get to the end of March, that's when we're going to be starting manufacturing. So we expect all of the toilets to be manufactured and ready to ship by mid-July. Mm-hmm. But they're going to start trickling in before then. And so some of them will be able to ship sooner. But mid-July is our final.
Nice.
Shipping for all toilets should be able to go out.
And awesome. And I, I think you mentioned that there's a coupon code for podcast listeners here, THP book.
That's right. Yeah. So we've talked about Joseph Jenkins multiple times today because he's just the godfather of compost toilets.
Yep.
He's written a couple of really great informative books, and we're offering that coupon code will give you a free copy of his compost toilet handbook. It's a full color book that just has so much information about different types of compost toilets, how they work, how you can troubleshoot issues you might be having with them, how you can build your own. There's a lot of really great information in that book. And it was something that was really inspiring to me when we settled down on our land and I started composting.
Awesome. All right. So yeah, so that coupon code is THP book. And the website is thronecompostingtoilet.com. I'll put links in the show notes for this episode. And I'm psyched. It's always great to, you know, see new products getting developed to try to address some of the pain points of tiny living.
Yeah, I really think that this toilet just keeps it simple. It's easy to clean and it's easy to use. And I mean, that's generally what you're looking for. You're not looking for something complicated. And those are the struggles that I know a lot of folks have had with some composting toilets, is just they ended up being more work than they bargained for.
Throne composting toilet. It's the shit. Is that?
Yes.
Good
tagline.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It was really fun to meet you and hear all about Throne.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you inviting me to join. It was cool.
Thank you so much to Elizabeth for being a guest on the show today. You can find the show notes, including a link out to Throne Compost Toilets at thetinyhouse.net/291. If you are interested in pre-ordering a Throne, go to thetinyhouse.net/throne. And don't forget to use the coupon code THPBOOK. That's THPBOOK at checkout to get a free copy of Joseph Jenkins' Compost Toilet Handbook. Again, that's thetinyhouse.net/throne. Well, that's all for this week. I'm your host, Ethan Waldman, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Tiny House Lifestyle Podcast.